I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll begin in just a moment with verse 1. This particular theme, I hope, will resonate with your heart and will be a great encouragement to you. I want you to write the Bible verses that I mentioned, be prepared to do that, and be ready to pass them along to someone else. Remember, our idea about preaching here is not to be heard, but to be repeated. And so you become the preacher to someone and pass along to your family, to your friends, to your workmates, what God uses to speak to your heart. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." We faint not. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark that expression. We faint not. For almost my entire ministry, I've studied the life and ministry of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He's the famous English preacher who died, more than a century ago now, but the most quoted preacher to ever live. That's because I imagine that his writings, the things he left, are more voluminous than the entire Encyclopedia Britannica. He left that much imprint about God and the gospel through his messages and books that he authored. He started a school for pastors, and in that pastor's college, he trained so many people, never over more than 90 students at one time, but he trained pastors who, they say, touched 80% of the churches in that part of the world. His theme or motto for his college was to hold and to be held. I want us to say that, to hold and to be held. It's the idea that the Lord Jesus gave his disciples when he said, "My sheep know my voice. They hear me and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." In other words, we are held by the Lord, and no one can take us from his grip. We're held by him. And then also we hold. We hold. We believe, and we hold to what we believe. To hold and be held. Hold your place here just a moment and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter. We have this expression given to us again in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." I want you to mark that expression in verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 4. Let us hold fast our profession. Now as we turn back to the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians and we see this first verse, the Bible says we faint not. The word faint means to release. We release not. It means to loose. To loose or to unloose. God says here, we do not release what we believe. We do not loose what we believe. We do not unloose what we believe. We faint not. We faint not. We don't let go. The Bible tells us why, and we'll come to that in a moment. But this is a great theme in the Word of God. If you'll turn with me, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 20. God gives some instruction for battle in Deuteronomy, chapter 20. Remember, when they go into the promised land, Canaan is not a type of heaven. It's a battlefield, really. There are 7 great warring campaigns that have to be conducted to drive out the enemy. And God says, when you're in battle on this battlefield of Canaan, when you're in the warfare, The Word of God says in chapter 20 of Deuteronomy, beginning with verse 1, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you." The Word of God goes on to say about the officers. We come to verse 8 of this same chapter. "And the officers shall speak further unto the people. And they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart." God said, if you're going to let go of what you believe, if you're going to turn loose of what you know to be true about God, beware. He goes on to say, if you're an officer, if you're a leader, and you're faint-hearted, if you're going to let go, if you're going to turn loose, if you're going to faint, leave before the battle ever starts, because you're going to discourage others with your faint-heartedness. Some of us have never realized the influence God has given us. And when we think about our influence, we think about influence for good. But do you ever stop to think that every person who unloosed, every person who loosed, every person who released, every person who left serving God is influencing others to do the same? We faint not. That's the admonition God gives us in his word. Turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah. In the 40th chapter of Isaiah, the Bible says, beginning with verse 29, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." If they do as God says here, they're not going to release. They're not going to unloose. They're not going to loose. How many of you know someone, maybe some prominent someone, even someone that once led and was once wholeheartedly involved, but now has fainted? What have they done in fainting? That's not some fainting spell like we may see some person physically anemic go through. The Bible says in this context of scriptural living and the spiritual life, we are not to release what we know God has given us. We are not to loose what we've been holding on to as far as our profession of faith, as Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 says. We are not to unloose what we're to be holding tightly in our hand and say, God, help me to faint not. You come to the gospel according to Luke, if you have your Bible open there, to the 18th chapter of the gospel according to Luke. And the Bible says in verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end." In other words, this is what the parable is to accomplish. "That men ought always to pray and not to faint." Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The devil has many tricks up his sleeve. He does many things depending on the circumstances and many times the person. He may use fear with one person and deception with another person, though everything is a part of his deception. But he has one aim, and that is to get God's children to faint. to get them to be less than consistent in their profession of faith. If we say someone's come to Christ, you've asked God to forgive your sin, and by faith, you've trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You're saying that you believe all God says about Jesus Christ, that he is God incarnate, robed in flesh. He came to earth, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died for our sins because he owed no sin debt. You say you believe that if you've made a profession of faith in Christ. You're saying that you believe that he was buried and he rose from the dead and he's alive evermore, that he ascended to heaven where he ever lived to make intercession for us. That's what you and I say we believe. That's our profession of faith. God says, hold tight to it. Hold on to it. There's a God who's holding you and will not let you go, but you hold on to your profession of faith. You hold on. Live like a person who will not let go of that, will not loose it or unloose it, and say, we faint not. We faint not. Now I want you to turn with me to our passage in 2 Corinthians. I love the way this book of 2 Corinthians began with Paul saying that he's giving us the testimony of his conscience. In verse 12 of chapter 1, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and much more abundantly to you ward. I'm saying this as the testimony of my conscience. In simplicity and godly sincerity, this is what I'm holding on to. And I would encourage you to read through this book, at least this passage here that we're dealing with, through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and through chapter 4. Then you'll understand why we find what we find in chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And all those other chapters leading up to that very statement. We faint not. We faint not. Would you write this down, please, and tell someone else this that's wobbling a little in their faith. Number one, this is what we have received. Received. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Why don't you throw in the towel? Why don't you release what you believe? Why don't you stop serving God? There's no painless way to follow Jesus Christ. Why don't you just give up the whole idea of it? Why don't we loose it or unloose it and just drift? Why don't we do that? Why don't we? Because we've received mercy. Pure and simple, we've received mercy. I did not get what I deserved. I deserve hell, and so do you. But God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me. Christ's sake, Christ is the perfect one who never sinned. He obeyed in everything. He had never even had a sinful thought. He paid my sin debt. That's why his record imputed to my account is a perfect record. And God sees me as he sees his perfect son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If I have his record, I'm one of his children. If I don't have his record, I'm not one of his children. When I asked God to forgive my sin and by faith trusted Christ as my Savior, I received the record of Jesus Christ. He not only died for me, he died as me. He died just as surely as if you died and paid the debt, because he bore our debt. All our sins were laid on him. We like sheep have gone astray, every one of us. All we like sheep have gone astray. And the Lord hath laid on him, the Bible says in the 53rd of Isaiah, the iniquity of us all. Of us all. If you ever stop and start taking sin lightly, giving up lightly, turning from God lightly, ever take it lightly, think what it cost God. To hold you. To hold you. Think of travail, the birthing word, travail. I often think if these boys and girls who go astray could think what their mothers went through to bring them into the world, they wouldn't go astray so lightly, with such a light mind. They wouldn't betray the ideals, the goals, the dreams of their mother if they just knew what the mother suffered for them. And you and I need to think again what Christ suffered for us and how he gave us mercy. We're sinners. The devil had us kidnapped, running off to hell with us. We were all lost and headed to hell, and Christ intervened. He paid our ransom. That's what it is. He paid our ransom, what was required to get us from the clutches of Satan and off the path to hell, to get our feet on the solid rock and on the path to glory. That's what God did for us. And the reason we don't faint is because what we've received. And this mercy endures forever. This gift of God's mercy doesn't just come to you in salvation. His mercy endureth forever. When you come to the Lord, when you've had done something you know you shouldn't have done as one of his children, the Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it goes on to say in the same little book of the Bible in 1 John that he is a propitiation. He's the covering. He's what it took. He's the propitiation for our sin. He's what satisfied God. And if somebody wanted to get bored with us, say, you know this one, you've got this one. And then the devil wants to accuse us and say, this one can't get it right. You're going to give him mercy again? You're going to give him mercy again? Well, we don't get mercy because we deserve it. We get mercy because Christ paid all that debt. Hallelujah, what a Savior. So we faint not because of what we've received. Let's read it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. The second thing I want you to make note of, write it down please, is what we have renounced. Look in verse 2. We've renounced. We've turned our back on this. We've said never again, never again. Not going to do that anymore. Not going to live there anymore. Not going to participate in that again. These are the things I've renounced. That's the old life. That's not me now. I've renounced it. Those things made me faint. Now I'm renouncing all of that. Look what it is. He gives us a list. Verse 2, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Our secret life. The things we were sneaking around doing, hiding from people. We've renounced that. Some of you have been living such secret lives. Things you look at. Is there anything pornographic hidden in your house? Is there anything you habitually do that's locked away in some cabinet and you get to it? You know what it's going to do? If you continue to do it, it's going to cause you to faint. It'll cause you to get to the place where you release what you are as a Christian. You'll loose and unloose. You say, this old Christian life is so binding. I don't want that anymore. I don't want it. I don't want it. I'm not going to live like that anymore. It's too confining to me. You know why? Because you didn't renounce what you should have renounced. The Bible says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness. The whole plan was to sneak around and do things. Nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. There's some people who take the Word of God just to use the Bible to justify what they're doing. You know, you can find a verse and take a verse out of context and use it for any purpose you want to. I can tell every one of you that it's perfectly all right to go out and hang yourself today. Sure. I read it right out of the Word of God. I just forgot to tell you that it was Judas who got the devil in him and did it. You know? I could tell you that you can become gods yourself. You can become gods, but you're not rightly dividing the word of God. But I've renounced all that. I don't want to know what I'm making of Scripture. I want to know God's intent, what He's making of it. I've renounced all that self-determination and self-guiding. I've renounced all of that. And if I don't renounce it, I'm surely going to faint as a Christian, as a professing Christian. But renouncing, handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I am what you see me to be. I'm living consciously in God's presence. I don't have to work at proving myself to you, to trying to make you think I'm a good guy, because that's taken care of first by living openly and honestly, consciously in the presence of God and being forthright about that. Have I pleased the Lord? Is my conscience void of offense toward God and toward man? If it's not, I'm going to pay a price. And the price is I'm going to faint. I'm going to release what I should be holding on to. I'm going to unloose what should not be unloosed. And so I don't want you to faint. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if not one of our church family members fainted? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we marched right into the presence of Jesus, into His arms, having not fainted on this journey? We faint not. And then I want to give you a third thing, and this is so very important, especially for me. It's what is renewed. Renewed. I thought I'd get wound up like the Energizer Bunny and make it all the way to the end of the race. I really did. I thought that's the way it worked. I'm being perfectly honest with you. I mean, I just get a good dose of it and get determined. I'm going to live for the Lord and be a Christian and do what God wants me to do and just get, you know, get the kind of spiritual battery that it just keeps going and 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 going until finally I've reached the end. That was my way of understanding it. But I found out it doesn't work. God has designed life so that we must be daily dependent upon Him. I'm sorry to tell you this. I really am sorry to tell you this. Some of you are so idealistic. There is no smooth all the way journey. There is no such thing. There's not always level ground. It's not a straight road. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, the hymn writer said, I have already come. Through many dangers, toils, and snares. Let's read what God says about this. Would you allow me just to begin reading with verse 3? But if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. You see, they're lost. They're blind. They're lost. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But, now that's a conjunction. They call this a disjunctive conjunction. But with all that in mind, all that great stuff I just read to you about the Christian life, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Well, I thought it was going to be of us. I thought I'd get a good dose of it and just make it on my own and, you know, finish the line and come across the line and in the presence of Jesus and just did a great job of living. Well, we find out. Verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. we ought to remind ourselves that we're not distressed. We're troubled, but we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but God has not forsaken us. Cast down. We find ourselves there sometimes, but we're not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. If you don't have the dying, you can't have the living. We don't want to go through the death pains, but in the death pains, the life of Christ is made manifest in us. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Get this, you're giving your life, aren't you, to God? So as you give your life to God, you're expending self. And as you're expending self, others are being blessed by the expense of you spitting out yourself. I've got a glass of water here. It has water in it. It doesn't now. Not like it did. Because I've taken it. It's done its job. And my life is poured out. And others are blessed. Your life is poured out. You even have some people say things like this. I don't think I've said this. I may have, but I mean to do it. I've given my life as a shepherd for you, sheep. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us. We're dying. But life in you. Do you ever resent that? You might as well say yes, because at times we do. And the Word of God says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Here's this verse again. I've been sort of camping around this word lately in my own life. For all things are for your sakes. I think a lot of things are against me. I'd like to say all this physical stuff. The doctor told me the other day, said it takes you 5 times the energy to take one step. It takes another person. I said, you think you're telling me something I don't know? He said, I'm just trying to explain something to you. That's what spinal stenosis does. And yours is ravaging right now. But I'm still walking. Still moving forward. And God says that it's for me, not against me. Now, what does this mean? For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. It takes a lot of grace, a lot of grace, a lot of grace, a lot of grace. And that brings glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Now here it is. For which cause we faint not. The world looks on and says, that's going to get you to faint, isn't it? Ah, ha, ha, ha. That'll get you. Turn loose. Release. Unloose. Give it up. No. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I said, what we receive, what we renounce, what is renewed, what is received, what is renounced, what is renewed. What's happening here? What in the world is happening? There's a renewing. the inward man. There's a man living in me. There's more than you see. We all want people to like what they see, but there's more than people see. There's a new man living in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And there's a new man living in you if you've been born again. Oh, this is not the time to release, to unloose, or to loose. This is not the time to faint. The devil wants you to faint right before the victory. No, no. We faint not. Why? Because we're renewed, see, day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For most of my adult life, part of my immediate family has lived on the ocean or near the ocean. My mother, she's with the Lord now. My brother's still there. And we enjoy looking at the water. And I see the surface of the water. But there are hundreds, sometimes thousands of feet beneath that surface. And many times, all we see is some surface. But God works in us so that we can see beyond what is seen. Listen to the verse again. There's more to it. While we look not at the things which are seen, we just see things. But at the things which are not seen, there's a depth, there's a richness and a fullness beyond what we see. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, this is about spiritual things now, are eternal. I illustrate with the water and the sight of the water, but what you're seeing happen is just temporal. This is all temporal. You look at yourself in the mirror, that's all temporal. But there's something inside of you that is eternal. And it wants to renew and grow and be more like Jesus every day. And so God works in such a way that we don't faint. We don't faint because of what we have received, His mercy. We don't faint because of what we've renounced. He's given us the grace to do that. I'm not going to live that way anymore. In deceit and trickery. Trying to live for you to see something instead of God to see what is right in my life. I'm not going to live that way anymore. I'm not going to live in craftiness and trickery. Some of you need to make that decision today and ask God to give you the grace and mercy and strength to live the rest of your life that way. Because you're going to faint. You're going to be drifting out there with no anchor. And we don't faint because of what is renewed. Do you know, I visit these dear ones in hospital beds and sometimes hospice homes that are days, sometimes hours, sometimes minutes, and sometimes while I'm with them going into eternity. And you know what? There's more to them than what you see. And there's more to you than what we see. And that eternal part, that's what God nurtures and brings along. And I fully believe this. Laugh if you want to, but I fully believe this. The strongest day of my life, the strongest, most vigorous day of my life will be the day that I'm about to leap in the arms of Jesus, just seconds away from Him. Renewed, strengthened in the inner man. strong as a lion for God. That's what I believe. That's what I truly believe. And we faint not. I may not be able to express it, but I want you to know, inside, there's something that God knows is still going strong. You know? Every once in a while, I meet people like that. You might think, well, look at that weak old lady. Wow. After you're around them for a while, you think, nothing weak about this old girl. What a faith. What vision. You see what I'm talking about? And men that way. Isn't that what we want? We faint not. God help us. Let's pray together, may we?